What's Killing My Kale. This is a podcast from University of Minnesota Extension all about integrated pest management tactics for vegetable and fruit producers.
Welcome back to part two of our first episode on integrated weed management. This time around, we're going to be talking about mechanical strategies. And so I've asked Andy to come up with her top five mechanical weed management strategies to introduce them and to compare them a little bit.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about five mechanical tools for weed management that I'm really into right now. A couple of these are strategies that I'm excited to see in action and try in a couple of my field plots this summer. And some of the others are implements that I saw when I was in New York at an integrated weed management field day. And I saw some really interesting implements being used on coal crops. So one of these, my first one would be a basket weeder. We're going to be trying out a basket weeder at the Cornucopia Student Organic Farm here on the St. Paul campus with Courtney Cheetah this summer. And we're going to be using this on a pepper weed management trial. We're going to be using it to cultivate the soil right before planting the peppers. And the basket weeder is an inter-row cultivator that is designed to stir up weeds and soil that are very close to the crop row without actually disturbing the crops themselves. And one reason I'm really excited about this technology is that you can adjust the location of the cultivation implements, or in other words, the baskets, to customize to the size of your row in order to get closer to those plants. So how it works is it's a drag behind implement on a tractor where it has a wheel that has U-shaped steel wires going around the wheel. And as these wires move into the soil, they basically throw up the soil gently behind them. And so they uproot any small weeds that are in the soil, hopefully without getting at the crops themselves. This affects about the first 1 to 2 inches of the soil, so it is meant for very shallow-rooted small weeds. It's not something that's designed to work on more mature weeds.
And what sort of scale can it be done on? How many rows can you do at once? Is it just behind the tractor, or can you make it like a pretty wide basket weeder that covers multiple rows?
The one that we're using is just for a couple rows.
Okay.
There might be larger implements, but the one we have is just for about 2 rows.
Okay.
So that's an inter-row cultivator. And so then there's the issue of, what do you do about weeds that are in the row? This is a huge problem in vegetables, especially in systems where we're not using herbicides, or at least we're not using herbicides in the crop as a post-application, which often we can't do in vegetables. There just aren't that many options for in-crop application. So one implement that tries to address this is called a hydroweeder. This is something that is really interesting because it's a ride-along piece of equipment. It's drug behind a tractor, but you as the operator are actually sitting on top of the implement, and you have handles that you use to direct the cultivation tines, which are basically underneath your feet. So you're directing where those tines go in the soil as the tractor drives ahead. And the idea is that you can push those tines to go in between the plants within the row, as long as they're spaced far enough apart, and then you can direct them towards certain weeds. So it's supposed to be a more precise cultivation technique that allows you to get within the row.
So have you used one of these, or did you just see it at the show?
I have not gotten to use one yet.
Do you have a sense of how clumsy it is?
Or
how accurate it is if you're reaching towards different weeds with
a long
piece of metal?
It's not as clumsy as a video game.
Okay.
It's not whack-a-mole.
Right.
But I would say that it takes some practice to get right. Mm-hmm. When I saw it demonstrated, I definitely saw people running into the cabbage that was recently planted. But I think with some practice, it's the kind of thing where you just start to get a hang of it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing with this piece of equipment, they say that it can replace 10 laborers per row with just one person. But the con to this is that you have to switch out operators every 30 minutes or so. Because as you can imagine, directing tines through soil with your hands, this gets really tiring really fast.
Yeah.
And I saw a teenager using it, and I saw an adult using it, and both seem to be using it just fine. But the fact that you're only supposed to use it for half an hour does suggest to me that it does take some strength, and it gets pretty tiring pretty quickly.
Right.
So anyway, I thought that was a pretty interesting one. I'd really like to use it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody has one in Minnesota.
So if you're listening and you have a time weeder, maybe send in some feedback.
Yes, please. Okay, so a third one is a RoboCrop, and this is a computer-aided weeder. This is meant to be a more precise cultivation technique. It's meant for larger farms. It comes in a 4, 8, or 12 row piece, I believe. And this is definitely a more expensive piece of technology. It has more bells and whistles to it. What a computer-aided weeder does is there's a computer and a tractor, and on top of the cultivator, there are actually cameras that are looking down at the soil. They're detecting where the weeds are relative to where the crop rows are, and they're sending that signal back to the computer in the tractor. And then that computer is directing where the cultivation tines should go. And so what you see is tines on the soil that are directly aiming towards the weeds in the row and avoiding the plants.
Yeah, so I worked on a farm last summer. It was about 70 acres of organic cabbage production, and they had a robo weeder, and it was amazing. Before that, they had people like laying out on the bean poles, hand weeding as they drove through the field, and it totally took away the need for that labor. It was a lot faster, it was a lot cheaper after they did it, and just kind of an amazing piece of technology in general.
That's very cool. I know there's at least one RoboCrop in Minnesota.
Okay.
I'm not sure they're using it too much, though. There are definitely challenges to using a RoboCrop. One is the expense. Mm-hmm. But other than the expense, it depends on your soil quality. If you have a hard soil, then it's going to be hard for those tines to penetrate that soil. And so there is an issue of broken tines.
So for the three that we just talked about, would you ever use just one or the other, or would you use some combination where you're doing in-row cultivation and then sort of spot treating with the hydro weeder or robo crop? Or would any of those kind of do it all?
You know, I don't think I would use any of these technologies as the only implement on my farm.
Right.
So if you have something like a basket weeder, then yes, obviously you're going to need something else to get in between the plants within your row if you're trying to get every weed. And in that case, I would rely on hand weeding or potentially a pre-emergent herbicide as part of an integrated approach. If you're using a hydro weeder, the one where you're actually directing it yourself, technically you could use that as your only cultivation technique because it's meant to get weeds both within the row and between rows. But I imagine that unless you're a perfect operator, you are going to miss some weeds, and some weeds are going to be too large to get with those tines. So I also wouldn't rely on that as your only implement. And then a RoboCrop, that's still left to be seen. I haven't seen anyone who's just relying on that piece of equipment.
Okay. So speaking of diversifying options,
yes.
What is your fourth?
All right. Number four, we'll also be trialing this summer in Waseca, is a flame weeder, also called a propane weeder. And this is a tractor-mounted flame weeder that emits the flames between the rows, and the propane tanks are actually mounted onto the tractor to fuel it. And so Charlie's using this summer, and we're going to be using it on my steel seedbed project and peppers as a method to terminate the weed seedbed right before planting.
Yeah, do you want to talk a little bit about the use of a steel seedbed or a full seedbed, what that means, why it's important, and maybe how something like a flame weeder can be a really cool part of that system?
A steel seedbed technique, it's not a very descriptive name, steel seedbed, in my opinion. I hear that, when I heard that term for the first time, I was like, what is that supposed to mean?
Yep.
So the steel seedbed technique is something that we use prior to planting, where we disturb the soil and encourage weed seeds to germinate when we want them to, by tillage or by cultivation, and then we allow those weed seeds to grow up until planting time, and then those emerged weeds can be terminated. The way that we terminate the weeds prior to planting is really important. If we terminate those weeds by cultivation, we're disturbing the soil again, and we're terminating them, but we're also stimulating more weed seeds to grow. So there are also techniques that you can use to terminate weeds without disturbing the soil. One of those is flame weeding. So we're going to try flame weeding to see if we can get a good steel seedbed technique that way.
Yeah, nice. And that seems like a really good option for either organic farmers or farmers who are maybe not no-till but leaning towards less tillage on their farms.
Exactly. it's great for a farmer who's trying to reduce the amount of soil disturbance that they're doing.
Yeah, and it's also interestingly something that works on a lot of scales, mm-hmm. and Charlie had some perspective on that, so you can listen to what Charlie had to say about flame weeders.
I first learned about them at a conference a couple years ago. Somebody was talking about, I think it was field corn and sunflowers, and he was using propane for that, so, you know, hundreds of acres, and it was a pretty cool setup. There are also propane weeders that are, you know, an individual burner with a little tank that you can carry around in one hand, and spot treat weeds. The kind we got is 30 inches wide, and it fits over the top of a raised bed. So that might be useful for something like a stale seedbed kind of thing, where you, when you cultivate, you might bring weed seeds up to the surface of the soil, they germinate, and then you kill them without more cultivation. So you're not bringing more seeds up, you're just burning the seeds off that are on the top, and hopefully not a whole lot more will germinate after that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm kind of excited to start using that too, just as another tool in the box.
All right, so that brings us to the fifth and final tool that we're going to talk about today.
Another one is the grit weeder, which is something that some University of Minnesota researchers have gotten a grant to test out from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And what this is it's an implement that blasts corn grit onto the field in order to severely damage and hopefully destroy small weeds on the field. It's a very abrasive corn grit that they're using for that implement. So Steve Poppy, Emily Hoover, and Frank Porcella at USDA ARS are the researchers who are trialing this piece of equipment this summer, and they're trialing it on perennial fruit systems like grapes, raspberries, and apples.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I would be interested in seeing how the grit weeder works on vegetables too. So that's actually something that Steve and I have brainstormed doing in the future, since we'll have a piece of equipment here.
Okay.
But, you know, so this is something where the grit is very abrasive,
yeah.
and destroys the weeds by physically hitting them. It's also going to hit your crop. Whereas in a perennial fruit system, let's take grapes, for instance, if you're aiming the grit towards the ground, you're just going to be hitting the grapevine trunk,
right.
which is
a little bit tougher than
yeah.
a lettuce plant.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
So that leads us really well into part three of this episode, which is about the special considerations we have to take for managing weeds in perennial systems. And we'll also talk a little bit about hoop houses at the end of that episode. So thanks for listening to part two of this episode, and we hope you'll tune in for part three.